You may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is James Daniel. I'm here on behalf of the city of Danville, representing the city in this case, and we ask that this court reverse the decision of the Circuit Court of Danville, memorialized in an order dated October 4, 2013, and enter final judgment on behalf of the city in the amount of $37,381.87. Counsel for Mr. Tate successfully convinced the court below that the city's right to enforce its personnel regulations and ordinances should have been litigated before the Workers' Compensation Commission. We assert that the circuit court was the proper forum and that judgment should have been entered for the city. Mr. Tate was a longtime city firefighter. In March 2009, Mr. Tate went out of work due to a heart condition, and having accrued over 5,000 hours of sick leave, requested and received his full wages until he took retirement on August 31, 2009. At that time, under the city ordinances, Mr. Tate cashed in his remaining sick leave and received an additional year's credit toward his retirement.
But he could only cash in like 900 hours of that, though, right?
Of an employee who has 960 hours can receive up to a year of credit. Above that, no matter how many hours you have, you still only get 1 year's credit, and you do not get pay for the additional hours. You have an option. You get pay, granted not a whole lot of money, for each hour, $1.50, or you get to seek a year's credit toward your retirement. If you seek the credit, no matter how many hours you have, your slate is wiped clean. You must have at least 960 to get that year's credit. He picked the option of seeking a year's credit toward retirement, which wiped the slate clean under the city ordinance.
Well, setting aside the jurisdictional issue and going to that city ordinance, tell me exactly where in the ordinance and regulations that provides for the city to actually recoup this money that
The city attorney, Mr. Whitfield, testified about that issue.
Well, no, just, I mean, it's...
I'm sorry. It is on page 274 of the appendix.
Is it 5.7.1? Is that the regulation?
I apologize. It's the ordinance 2010-06-07, and it deals with the.
Can you tell us what page it's on?
Page 274 of the appendix. It would be. As testified to by Mr. Whitfield.
Is there plain meaning? Is there plain language in that page you've told us to look at that says that?
It is certainly not as plain as it should be, but it does say that if the employee seeks workers' compensation benefits, that is the only thing that the person is to receive, and that sick leave can be used to supplement for the first 30 days. But after 30 days, the employee, it's the third full paragraph on page 274.
So nowhere there does it say that the city can sue him for this.
It does not say that the city may file suit. It says that he may receive only workers' compensation benefits, which I believe a fair meaning and a common sense approach to that means that he cannot receive the sick leave and the and his workers' comp.
But that goes to the point that you could have asked the commission to give you credit. at the time that you were at the commission.
We had gone down that road before in other cases. The commission does not give them credit for sick leave that is paid unless the person can have that sick leave credited to his or her account. In this case, we could not do that. Mr. Tate had preempted our
right. Right, so it's difficult to find where you actually have authority to recoup it.
Well, the policy of the city also on page 284 of the appendix, and we talked about this during the trial, 283 and 284, once a determination is made, if the employee receives payment for this time, the check shall be endorsed to the city and the employee's leave will be reinstated at the top of page 284 of the appendix.
What if they don't work for you anymore? They're not an employee, so it's not talking about them, is it?
Yes, sir, because they received sick leave during the time that he was an employee. Mr. Turnback has raised this very issue in his brief for the first time. We take the position that it can't be raised before this court. It was not raised below. He has taken the position in his brief that since Mr. Tate was not an employee at the time that he got workers' comp, he doesn't have to repay that sick leave. He was an employee when he received the sick leave. He used the city policy to his benefit to seek that extra year's credit toward retirement. He used the benefit of the city ordinances.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, sir.
I'm not arguing about that. Let me ask you a different question. Has he answered your question? As I understand your argument, if the circuit court had jurisdiction in this case, why wouldn't they have jurisdiction if he was still an employee? We changed the facts just slightly and he was still an employee. And you just didn't want to give him a credit, you just wanted to sue for repayment of the sick leave. Why wouldn't there be jurisdiction in that case?
I think the court would have jurisdiction.
Okay. Then what does the code section 65.2-520 mean when it talks about credits? And that you only get a credit, you only get to reimburse if you give him a credit.
That code section doesn't say that. The interpretation by the commission says that.
Okay.
The code section says that the commission may grant a credit.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about you have to restore his sick leave. The commission has, since 1988 at least, interpreted that. Case law has said you have to give a credit if you're going to seek you have to restore the sick leave if you're going to give a credit. We could not restore the sick leave. We couldn't go before the commission and seek that credit because under their law, since we could not restore the sick leave, there was no sense going to the commission. The real issue is...
What about Code Section 65.2-700? It says any dispute under any of these sections goes to before the commission.
This isn't a dispute under the workers' compensation law. We are not seeking a refund of workers' compensation benefits. We have no right to do so. This has nothing. That's where.
But you're seeking a refund of a voluntary payment under 520.
Well, certainly Judge Alexander and I had a difference of opinion as to voluntary payment. Sick leave was part of the agreement, quote unquote, that Mr. Tate had with the city of Danville for his employment. Accruing sick leave was not a voluntary thing. It was a matter of city policy that the two parties agreed to. In other words, if you work here, you get sick leave. Sick leave gives you certain rights. If Mr. Tate had not received his sick leave when he requested it in March of 2009, he could have sued the city. He could have sued to enforce his right to sick leave, and he would have sued in circuit court or general district court, depending on the amount, because he had no right to seek sick leave before the commission. These are two separate issues. Yes, workers' comp is involved to the extent that once Mr. Tate received workers' comp, he should then this interplay develops. But workers' comp, the commission does not control and does not have exclusive jurisdiction.
Well, let me ask this. Do you contend this is not a voluntary payment under 65.2-520? Is that right?
I don't think it's a voluntary payment.
Okay. I know you're familiar, I assume you're familiar with Judge Franks, although it's an unpublished opinion, in Dodson versus Newport News. What's wrong with his analysis?
I don't think that is the key point here. I think even if it is a voluntary payment, the fact that it is interpreted as being voluntary by Judge Alexander, he made that ruling in this case, that it's voluntary. We did not assign error to that. We did. That's not our major point. The major point here is we have two different realms. One, workers' comp, and we are not seeking a repayment of work comp benefits. We say that the circuit court has at least concurrent jurisdiction on this issue, particularly in Mr. Tate's case, because he had retired. We could not restore sick leave to him. He had preempted that when he retired by wiping his slate clean. And if the circuit court did not have jurisdiction, then the city of Danville is simply out of luck. We could not have gotten an award before a credit before the commission. We could not get one before the circuit court.
Let me go back to my earlier point then. If you're correct, then why would the city ever want to go through the workers' comp board? Because they would always just sue under the city statute. They'd never have to repay the sick leave, and they would be able to get back the money that was paid for sick leave.
Oh, no, sir. That's not what we're suggesting at all.
No, but that would be the result, wouldn't it?
No, sir.
I thought you agreed with me that you could sue under either situation, either whether he was still employed or not employed.
If he does not restore the money that he gets for sick leave, we should have the right to sue him. If we restore sick leave, if he does not give us the money that he has received in workers' comp, Mr. Tate had a wonderful option here. Instead of repaying the city what was paid in sick leave, he could have, under the city policy, simply paid us the amount that he got from workers' comp, which is less than what he got in sick leave. He chose to do neither. The big problem that I see in this particular case is if the court said that it did not have jurisdiction, it exercised jurisdiction in the Barton matter, which was tried the same day and had the same facts, except that Mr. Barton had not retired.
Well, what does that make any difference in this case? You're not going by the legal theory that two wrongs make a right, I take it? Just because he's wrong on that one doesn't mean that he might not have been right or wrong on this one.
I think in all due deference, I think he was right in that case. Judge Alexander exercised jurisdiction. He used the city ordinance to determine what Mr. Martin should have to repay the city.
I guess my point is if we decide that he was correct in that case, incorrect in this case, it's going to be resolved anyhow, right? So that case really doesn't have anything to do with this case, does it?
Yes, sir. A judge on the same day, on the same trial, and the same issues exercised jurisdiction. Okay. We take the position that he cannot then say in the other case, and nor can the lawyer. I respectfully submit. The lawyer for Mr. Barton was the same lawyer as for Mr. Tate, and he asked the court to apply the city ordinance to determine what Mr. Barton should repay. The court made that decision, as the court points out on page 240 and 243 of the appendix. Judge Alexander made a specific ruling as to the applicability and the fact that of the ordinances and the fact that he had jurisdiction. We take the position that not only is Mr. Tate double-dipping, getting workers' comp and sick leave for the same period, he has used those city ordinances to his benefit.
Counsel, tell me again, I know you expressed it, why didn't you go before the commission and ask for the credit, making the same argument to them that you're making to us, that you couldn't reinstate it because he wasn't an employee?
Because we already knew that the commission had ruled for decades that you can't get that credit unless you restore sick leave. We could not do that. To appeal that decision takes us to the Court of Appeals and then perhaps to this court. We've made an economic decision that since we knew what the decision was going to be before the commission, we knew what the decision was going to be before the Court of Appeals, we would have to still petition this court to come before you for a decision. We simply, it's an economic decision. We're suing for $37,000. The point is important because it could impact us in the future and many other employers. It is an important issue.
The scarce case out of the commission seems to be factually similar to your case. The gentleman had retired, had received part of his sick leave applied to his retirement benefits, and the commission still took the position that the employer was entitled to a credit. Why is that different from your position?
Because they made it clear we are not interpreting the city's policies and we are not making a ruling on extra monies that Mr. Scarce may owe. That we can't get all our money back. That is why we went to the circuit court. I was in the Scarce case. I was in the Myers case.
Why isn't Scarce this case, having gone before the commission and asked for credit?
because we did not get all our money back.
So your position is I want it all, so I'm going to bypass the commission and go straight to circuit court?
No, ma'am. We want what we are entitled to pursuant to the city ordinance.
But doesn't the commission get to make the first pronouncement as to what you may be entitled to under 520?
No, ma'am. They do not interpret city policies, ordinances, and personnel. That is every case cited by both parties. The Epps case, Dyson.
Not disputing those cases where they say, we're not going to tell you how to collect it. We're going to tell you what you can collect if you get a credit, it seems to be what they're saying.
And we would have given Mr. Tate the benefit that he could have worked with us. He had the option under city policy to pay the dollar amount he signed that check over that he got for workers' compensation. Instead, he says, no, I'm not going to follow city policy at all. He's not going to even work as Mr. Barton did during the suit. I acknowledge I owe it. I'll pay it back. Judge, tell me what amount I should accept. Thank you.
Morning, may it please the court. Michael Kernbach on behalf of the appellee, Mr. Tate. I think the court's got a pretty good feeling about what happened in this case and the morass that we've stepped into. And the problem is that the city of Danville wants to have it both ways. They want to use their ordinances to establish a private right or a cause of action to sue their own employees and yet hide behind the ordinances because they don't want to create any private cause of action for their own employees. There's absolutely nothing in this code section that I've seen looking at it from top to bottom where they've been given the right to sue not only their current employees, but their former employees. When this suit was brought, when the sheriff came and tacked this summons on the door of Mr. Tate, he wasn't even an employee anymore. They'd never asked for the money back, ever. Matt had sent them a letter, had made a telephone call. They had every right to go before the commission when the award was entered and try to get a credit for the wages which were paid.
How do they interpret the commission's previous statements that we don't tell cities and counties how to implement their policies?
The reason the way that works is we're only dealing with the money which was paid for indemnity under the Workers' Compensation Act. If Mr. Tate had no sick leave or no annual leave or holiday leave, he wouldn't have gotten anything, and they would have starved him out. I mean, he had this heart attack in 2009, in March of 2009. They didn't even accept the claim until October of, I believe, 2011. And he left employment in August 31st of 2009.
Let me ask you about that. Did they require him to retire? Otherwise, he could have stayed there and used his sick leave for years.
They fired him. Don't let the city tell you that, oh, he voluntarily retired. They canned him. He had over 4,200 hours of, when he had his heart attack, he had 5,200 hours of sick leave. That's 2 years worth of sick leave. Oh, but they don't want to let him keep it. Less than 6 months later, they send him to the city physician and say, you're fired. You can't go back to work as the assistant fire chief.
So do you think those are the policies that scares us talk about, those kinds of policies?
Exactly. That's what that was talking about. They don't even give their employees the right to use the sick leave. They get rid of them as soon as they're sick. He could have stayed out of work 2 years. We wouldn't even be talking about this. He would have still been an employee, and they would have gotten their money back. He would have just signed over the check from workers' compensation. Here's your money. But he's not an employee. We don't get anywhere yet in this case until you define for us what it means to be an employee. If the section that they're relying upon in the joint appendix under pages 282 to 284, that gives them the right of the alleged right of bringing this cause of action, it says an employee. Well, you have to ask yourself, as justices of this court, what is the definition of an employee? It means that somebody is at least on the payroll, someone that they have control over in terms of work conditions and payments. He's gone. His sick leave disappeared. disappeared after he used 960 hours and it evaporated. He didn't even get the $1.50 per hour that they so generously provide. It was exhausted. He used 960 hours of sick leave to give himself 1 year of additional service credit for his retirement, and that's it. And then a year or so later, here comes the sheriff, and they want $40-something thousand dollars from him. I've never seen anything like this in 30 years of practice in workers' compensation in this Commonwealth. I've never seen an employer come after a former employee for sick leave that they earned. This is a guy that didn't even phone in sick for years. And here, when he needs the benefit the most, after he's had a serious heart attack, he gets put through all this. It's a wonder he had not another heart attack.
So is it your position that your client was entitled to 166% of his salary for that period of time?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because that's what the law says.
Which law?
The Workers' Compensation Act says that when you use your own leave to pay yourself the indemnity benefits while you're not under an award, they don't get a credit for that unless they can reinstate the leave. It was their policy to fire him while the workers' compensation claim was going on. That boat sailed. They could have appealed it to the Workers' Comp Commission. They didn't. It's gone. It's a dead issue.
Right. And speaking of that boat sailing, once the Dotson case, for example, Augusta County case, I mean, all those are about the check being issued under a workers' compensation award.
Right.
Right. So then once the Comp Commission renders the check and they don't ask for the credit, then how does the Workers' Compensation Commission have jurisdiction over a fringe benefit like this?
They don't, as long as...
So the circuit court does have jurisdiction over the issue, because as you said, the boat has sailed at the commission, and this is not different than any other kind of fringe benefit like maternity leave or annual leave or anything like that. I mean, the circuit court would have jurisdiction over that, wouldn't it?
Well, if you were going to use the private regulations, the administrative orders here, the ordinances, and all of the interpretive documents to create the right of cause of action, you'll have every town and municipality screaming, because you'll be establishing that it's not really employment at will. Your employment is governed by the rules and regulations that we promulgate. At the beginning, the preamble of every one of these code sections, you're still an employee at will, and this doesn't create a private cause of action. Nobody can really sue under these. They have grievance procedures. But in workers' compensation benefits, this is how it works. Mr. Tate had his heart attack in March of 2009. They denied the claim. He filed his claim in June of 2009. They denied the claim. He was using sick leave. They decided to fire him in August of 2009, and because he had 30 years of credible service, rather than stay fired, he put in his retirement papers as they told him to, and he retired, effective August 31st of 2009. Right, so he used sick leave during the period of time that he was out of work, and the claim was denied. Then when the award is issued in October of 2010, I believe, it might be March, the Workers' Comp Commission orders the payment of workers' compensation wage indemnity for the period of time from March to August of 2009. Well, we already know he used sick leave, but he's no longer an employee. So Mr. Daniel is correct. There's nothing to reinstate because they have no jurisdiction over him anymore. You get to keep both of it. The Workers' Comp Commission requires payment of the indemnity benefit, regardless of getting AFLAC, using sick leave, using annual leave. The key here is that if he had no leave, he would not have been paid. There's many references here in the record that without leave...
I understand that, but you're not focusing on the... you've said the Comp Commission doesn't have jurisdiction over this once the check's issued. I agree with you on that, okay? So then, why does the circuit court not have jurisdiction? Now, whether or not it actually states a cause of action is a completely separate issue, and whether or not there's actually an ordinance or a regulation in here that he can collect under is a completely different issue. But why would the circuit court not have jurisdiction over this issue?
Because they were supposed to take this dispute to the Workers' Comp Commission first, within the appropriate time
but
to appeal.
There's nothing in the law that says the employer has to ask for a credit. I mean, you wouldn't even want that to be the law.
But they have to act within 30 days. They can't be asleep on their rights for, what, a year and a half, and then they just issue a summons and tack it on your door. You're supposed to act when you have the dispute. They knew he used sick leave. They always claim in Danville that sick leave is full wages. That's not the truth. If he was actually paid what we call injury leave, like state troopers, when they have a wreck, they usually get 6 months, or used to get 6 months of injury leave. They just got paid their salary. No deductions from sick leave, no deduction from annual leave, nothing. And when they won their workers' comp claim, the Commonwealth of Virginia just takes a credit for wages paid, and when the check comes from Managed Care Innovations, they sign the check over to Human Resources at DRHM or the Human Resources at the State Police, and everybody's fine. But if you use your own leave benefits that you work for and accrue, that's not payment of wages. And they took the position early on that this was payment of wages. And when they didn't take their case to the full commission about the wage issue and didn't take it to the Court of Appeals, they waived their right to do that.
Counsel, let me ask you the same question I asked opposing counsel if I could and see what your position on that is. If they're correct and this circuit court had jurisdiction, why wouldn't they have jurisdiction if he was still employed?
If he was still employed like Barton was, I always took the position that even in the Barton case, they didn't have jurisdiction. But I was the defendant in the case, and I had filed a demurrer before Judge Alexander saying that the exclusive jurisdiction for this dispute was before the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission.
Well, that's what I would suggest to you the answer is. 520 tells you that you've got to take this before the commission.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that was my complaint at the beginning of this case when I filed a demur. But I was overruled on it, so we went to trial. And all we argued about for hours was sick leaves and credits and people being paid back. And all along, Mr. Tate's sitting there, and he's no longer an employee. There was nothing to pay back. At least in the Barton case, he was still an employee, and they agreed to reinstate his sick leave.
Perhaps I misunderstood you. I thought in response to Justice McClanahan's question, you said the commission did not have jurisdiction over Mr. Tate, but you just told Justice Millett that they did. Did I misunderstand?
No. They did. The Workers' Comp Commission always has jurisdiction over the indemnity benefits and wage benefits once an award is issued.
And voluntary payments, too, or not?
And voluntary payments. All payments that are considered indemnity payments under the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act and disputes arising thereunder are always brought before the Workers' Comp Commission. In one of the old cases, Myers, where we did the reinstatement of sick leave, they did it late. That was my case. And guess what? They got hit with a 20% penalty because they didn't reinstate a sick leave in time. They only had a short amount of time in which to reinstate it. Again, that was a dispute that was brought before the Virginia Workers' Comp Commission about, hey, they did not reinstate the sick leave within 20 days, and because they're in the penalty phase, they had to take the equivalent amount of money and award it to Darryl Myers as a penalty for not reinstating the sick leave in time. So Darryl Myers' case teaches you that the Workers' Comp Commission, despite arguments to the contrary, can extend its reach far into the arena where there are cases involving interpretations of personnel rules and regulations. Sick leave is a very simple concept to understand. And I was at a loss when I was arguing the case in front of Judge Alexander how we got this far for somebody who was no longer an employee for the purposes of the city's own private rules and regulations. And even reading the briefs and arguing the case and reading the case law, I know it seems like a confusing situation, but it's very easy to decide the issue.
Well, actually, and on that, it seems to me that the only nexus between sick leave pay and the workers' compensation scheme is when the employer asks at the comp commission for a credit, right?
Exactly.
And that's the only time.
And they have to do it in time.
Right. So, again, why is sick leave not treated like any other fringe benefit so that the circuit court has jurisdiction to hear the case? I mean, they didn't ask for it. The Workers' Compensation Commission is, I mean, the Workers' Compensation Commission would never hear a case about sick leave. The only time they hear a case is about sick leave is when you're asking for a credit under the workers' compensation scheme.
If they're going to restore the sick leave.
Right.
But sick leave isn't a traditional fringe benefit in the sense that you show up for work and it's there. You have to stay on the job, and year after year you accrue sick leave. If this happened to an employee who was only on the job for 6 months, he would have been sunk. Because they say in their own code section they don't pay benefits unless you have leave. Sick leave takes from a fringe benefit, but it's based on how long you're there.
Right, but that doesn't change its character of being a fringe benefit. You may not get it for a while, but it's still a fringe benefit.
Yeah, well, I think it's a fringe benefit based on a precondition, and that is actually showing up to work and not phoning in sick. Otherwise, you don't get sick leave. So it's not like health insurance or some other fringe benefits. Thank you.
You used all your time. You used all your time. Call the next case.